Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and we hear these words at the tail end of our Lord's parable of the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Someday you may be involved in the rather difficult process of having to select a coffin for one of your loved ones. It's not an easy thing to do. And you will find on that day that just like buying a car or buying clothing, there's a vast variety of coffins out there that you can get. Quite often, for Christian families, they will have inside of the coffin a cross of some sort that is either embroidered or fastened to the internal lid right over the face or the chest of their loved one. And oftentimes you'll see also, if you attend funerals, that people will place a cross necklace possibly right on the chest or neck of their loved one. How many people, however, leave this life with that cross so physically close to themselves and to their dead body, and yet maybe really did not possess in their hearts what that cross stands for? This is the concern of our Lord in the parable that is before us. He's not addressing these words to crass pagans or atheists or people who could really care less about God. He's writing to people who are inside of the church, people who have the things of God in their midst, who are part of, if you will, the visible church, to make sure that we remain part of the invisible church, which is really all that matters on Judgment Day. Let's notice a few things about the five foolish virgins who are not actually ready on the day that the Lord returns. First of all, they were at one time properly waiting for the bridegroom. They were at one time among the group that was ready. At one time, their lamps were burning. They had the oil of faith, and it was present in them. They are even now physically positioned among the five wise virgins, those who are truly prepared. They know the significance of the oil. They even know that they have to ask for more when they wake up and realize that they've run out. And they even know where to go now and to buy it. And they're well aware of the importance of the wedding hall and where that wedding hall is located. These are all things that we can say about these five foolish virgins who are not ready in our text. Last year, I had a man not from our campus that wanted to come and talk to me about some things and to discuss theology and religion with me. And he said to me, "Well, since I've made my decision for Christ, since I've decided to follow him, I don't have to worry about ever falling away." And I said, nothing could be further from the truth. That's a very dangerous attitude to have. The Bible is full of warnings, this is just one of them, about those who at one time possessed that oil of faith and yet let it run out. Even in his day, St. Paul talks about people that he ministered to, and he writes to Timothy and says this, "Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. They used to be in it, but they've wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs." Now, sometimes, if you're like me, we can falsely slip into the false thinking that kind of goes like this. Well, as long as I go to the right church, as long as I belong to the right denomination, as long as I occupy a pew, As long as I can quote enough Bible passages, then I'm okay. But there will be many people with all of that still shut out on the final day. In essence, they had all of the externals right, but the internal faith in the heart may have been lacking. Martin Luther talks about people like this who in essence take care of all the external things and make sure that those are good and fine, but they really don't have the faith in their heart. He says, "This faith is a creation of man that is like foam on the head of a bad beer." Leave it to Luther to throw some beer in there, right? Our Lord Jesus addresses it with a lot more serious words when he describes it this way. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus is also demonstrating to us in this text that we should not rely upon the faith of anyone else to somehow rescue us. Absalom, the son of David, the great writer of the Psalms, the one through whom the Messiah was to come, Absalom, the son of David, we have the impression from Scripture, died in unbelief. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli the priest, think what spiritual advantages they had to having a father like that, so beloved by God, and yet they die in unbelief. Don't be deluded into thinking that when the final day comes and you go to stand at that door to be let into the wedding hall, that somehow bringing up the name of your parents is going to have any favor for you. Consider the Jews of Jesus' day. They had all of the things of God. They had the Word of God given them. They had the prophets sent to them. They had the temple worship. They had the promise of the Messiah right in their midst. They had all the right stuff all around them all the time. And yet what was lacking was that true faith in the heart in so many of them. Our Lord wants us to understand this about being ready. Don't mess around with God's grace. Don't toy around with it and think, "I've got plenty of time to come back to it." Because there have been many people who have gone through life, who had all the right stuff, who just toyed around with God's grace a little too long, and all of a sudden they find themselves in eternity and there's no oil in their lamp. Today is the day to go shopping in God's grace. Take your Lord's word to heart. Repent of your sins before God. Believe in him and his forgiveness in Christ. Right now, God is holding open to you the door to the great banquet hall. And he's calling out to you and inviting you, even through my sinful mouth. And he's extending to you his grace and his mercy to cover every sin you've ever done in your life. Full forgiveness. But today is the day to take him up on this, not tomorrow. Note some interesting things maybe about these five wise virgins who are allowed into the hall. First of all, they are deeply concerned that they might be one of the five foolish. That's one of their biggest concerns. Their hearts are pricked with fear that they could possibly miss their Lord's return. They long for him and to see him and what he's going to bring them. Their consciences are easily made aware of their many sins, and they understand what tremendous need they have for what he did for them on the cross, and they cherish his grace. As a pastor and chaplain, I have conducted, I believe, around 300 weddings, and so my wife and I have been invited to a lot of wedding receptions. We've seen about every possible thing out there. And it's fun to watch new fads that seem to come in and out, too. Some of them have been really impressive. Every once in a while when we get a wedding invitation, we'll say to each other, "Wow, I wonder what this one is going to be like." Can you imagine the wedding banquet that our Lord has prepared for us, that he says no eye has ever seen in this life? What will it be like to hear human and angel voices singing together? What will it be like to actually see the 12 gates of that blessed city? To actually see the pearls and the jewels that line that city? To worship around the throne of Christ? And to be in a place where we never have to again worry about sin or death or judgment? So grab your lamp, fill it to the brim. You don't want to miss this one. Amen.